be interesting to see how that number is derived.
In terms of the corporation itself, I mean, it's based on the budget that the legislature approves.
Of the corporation.
Of the corporation itself, and then the circumstance could be management fees. I mean, if the fund itself was that large and management fees are a percentage of what they're investing, there is a potential for it to be extraordinary, and perhaps that's when the legislature has to address that.
I think we just had a little input here from Tracy. That may be passenger facility charges. Is that what it is, Tracy?
I'm almost 100% sure it's got nothing to do with permanent fund, because 1041 and 1105 are the permanent fund.
1041 and 1105?
Which you will not find here.
Just.
So I took out the.
Passenger facility charges? So that would be a part of Marine Highway then, or Dot Puff then?
So did we decide 1179 is a passenger facility charges? Tracy? Yeah. Sounds like we're PFCs have to do with passenger facility charges.
Airports.
That's airport receipts?
Yeah.
For passengers from airport receipts.
PFCs are?
Airport fees.
Okay. So again, I guess, if I might, Mr. Chairman, I guess if the question is if international travel or tourism travel increases, then we would have a constraint on spending as a result of a success in a non-government entity?
Looks like a yes.
Could be.
And that, so I guess there's a question on that one, Mr. Chairman. And then I guess, and then again, Bruce, number 1155, timber receipts. Again, so if we encourage non-government enterprise to utilize renewable resources, that would do the same thing?
Yes, sir.
On spending.
I understand that. It's a limit on spending, but not on revenue. But if revenue comes in, then it reduces spending. But where does the money go? Do these monies, I guess, if I might, Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
These monies are deposited in the general fund, is that correct? Or into these funds?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, all the money comes into the general fund, but then it does go into these designated receipt sources. I mean, these are designated funds that the legislature has set up
and then,
to deposit these monies.
And then so they're used as fund source codes to funding DNR or some other mechanism.
So, that's the challenge here. This is a limit on how much you spend, regardless of where the funds are coming in. This is at the spending side of the equation.
Senator Dyson?
I understand that.
Yeah, thank you. Senator Stevens, raises an interesting point, but I think we need to remember that for our foreseeable future, what will be diminished then is the amount of money we got to take from the CBR. So it's not like we're going to be limiting new business and new enterprises and growth for as far out as I can see. Maybe you'll live longer to see it, but it will be diminishing the amount of money we're having to borrow, and hopefully significantly increasing our financial stability and our wealth.
Let me try this. So we now know that F-25 is $86 million in 06, right? Or plus or minus, from Bruce's estimate. So if in 06 the account 1179 PFC increases from 12.4 million to 13.4 million, does the available annual growth then become 85 million?
Senator Wilkin, not necessarily, because for FY05 we're using 3.25 billion as our base. That doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to appropriate that much. If the actual appropriation turns out being less than that 80, and you appropriate to the limit in 06, you're going to go from 80 to something larger. So it, in order to have a more defined calculation for 06, we're using an estimate for 04 and 05. So it all depends on how much is actually appropriated in those 2 years.
Well, then forget for the moment. Let's just go out to 09. So it shows in 09 that when we came to town in January, we would be able to spend $95 million more than the year before. If the PFC went up $1 million in 09, would that number be 94?
I'm having problem understanding your question.
We used to run into the problem that when we received a grant or we increased the cost of providing a government service directly to the provider, we ran into a problem that counted as state spending, and therefore we needed to go find someplace else in the budget to reduce it an equal amount. So my question is, if the just to use this because it's simple to understand, if the PFC goes up $1 million, does that mean that we're not going to have $1 million to spend on K-12 education?
If you're at your limit, yes.
Okay. So if any of these go up, if any of these increase, there's a dollar-for-dollar relationship in amount available to spend for that fiscal year decrease. Is that right?
Well, Mr. Chairman, it assumes that because they raise another dollar, they get to spend another dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think the challenge is to say that these activities don't necessarily have first claim on every dollar that they bring in. It could be that they also have general fund subsidy that's supporting the program. So what it could do is replace a general fund dollar that you're already spending, and instead make that dollar available for K-12. Okay, so I mean that's the balancing here.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, on that point, therein lies the problem. You know, it depends. A few years ago, there was very little support, say, for the fish and game budget. And depending upon, you know, the makeup of the legislature, that whatever that majority says is their priority area, that's where the additional dollar is going to go, not necessarily to a program, say, such as the fish and game budget. You know, it may potentially get squeezed out, but it's a very, very important function, but may not have the support of the legislature. And that, I think, is a very key problem.
Senator Dyson? Yeah, I just repeat my remarks that I responded to Senator Stevens. Certainly for the 4 years that this would be in place, what we will be reducing is the money that's being borrowed from the CBR. And we will be reducing debt, and if indeed Senator Stevens and I had our dream, we'd repay the CBR and rebuild that bridge to the future and be promise keepers. So I would want to keep focusing our attention on here that additional revenues from almost all of these sources will be going to build fiscal stability, reduce our borrowing, and repay our rainy day accounts that are very, very important to a state that is depends so much on the sale of natural resources that are sold on the world commodity market. So,
Senator Bundy, and then Senator Hoffman.
Well, yeah, I don't see that this creates a problem if it is indeed a problem that doesn't already exist. The majority, whatever their philosophical makeup, can increase spending or can attempt to control spending. They do that all the time now without a spending limit. And if we didn't have a CBR that could be leveraged, there'd probably be more of that control based on philosophical points of view, even without a spending limit.
Senator Hoffman?
therein lies the argument for having no spending limit. We can do it today. But aside from that, I guess, on page 2 and 3, when we're talking about the appropriations for emergencies and extraordinary circumstances, I read that a couple of times, and I guess I'm assuming that once this is approved by 2/3 vote, that becomes the base. But I can see circumstances that may be extraordinary that are just one time and may not be necessary to be included into the base. So I'm wondering, when we deal with extraordinary circumstances, under what conditions does that become the base, and what circumstances it doesn't become the base? Because it's not clear.
Lucky?
Through the chair, Senator Huffman, the language on page 1, lines 6 through 10, is meant to indicate that we exempt those emergency and extraordinary circumstances, but that the base is the amount appropriated the previous year. So those extraordinary circumstances, you may have more than one in a year, will not change the base for the following year. You exempt those extraordinary circumstances from establishing a base.
So let's say that it's a case like we're doing this year, making substantial changes to the education budget for PERS and TERS, and increasing the foundation as well. That would not become a part of the base, and we'd have to make an extraordinary expenditure from there on out?
The chair, Senator Huffman, if the expenditure were to exceed the cap, it would have to be declared an extraordinary circumstance in order to...
Here, even though it's part of the formula.
If it exceeds the cap, yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't work.
Okay. Other questions? Lucky, in the back to cell F-25, which is we now know to be somewhere around $86 million, next year we expect to have about a $50 million PERS-TERS obligation. Is that contemplated in that number?
Yes, sir. The base numbers we're contemplating that give us a little headroom for the next year and the following year. It's one of the reasons we use them rather than the an actual number.
So if we look at line 25, tomorrow we're going to get a briefing on up to date on PERS and TERS. But if we said just for the moment that for the next few years we expect a $50 million TERS problem to be presented to us every year, we've almost taken care of half of that line 25 in the out years, haven't we?
In the out years, yes, sir. Not in the first year, because, again, this is not the actual expenditure. It's a higher number than the actual expenditure.
Okay. Other discussion? Okay. We prepared to move the bill? Senator Bundy?
I have the privilege. Suggesting that we move from committee CS for Senate Joint Resolution 3 as amended, current version /Z with individual recommendation.
Yeah. Object. Discussion, Senator Huffman?
Whoop, pardon me.
As amended. As amended.
I believe I said that.
As amended. Thank you. Senator Huffman, discussion.
I object, but I will remove my objection. I think, you know, we as the legislature have caps. We decide what the spending level, how high it should be or how low it should be. As Senator Bundy stated, priorities of different legislatures change, but they decide what the cap should be. And you know, I think that we had a spending cap before, and people are worried that we're going to go up and spend up to the cap. We never even came close to spending up to that cap, even though it was high and maybe not workable from one point of view. But I think it worked, because we never got over that spending cap once. So we're way below that, so we must have been pretty frugal since that spending cap has passed by the voters. So, you know, I think that we, as common sense people from throughout the state, come together and decide what the priorities are, and we will spend accordingly. I understand that this is just a four-year constitutional amendment, and it will be reviewed, but I think that the current system is working quite well.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman. Let's see, Senator Dyson and Lucky, there's some things need to catch up with this bill. This has to be redone. We had some, Senator Stedman did some sensitivity analysis. That should probably be part of the packet to see what the changes are as population and inflation change. Any other pieces that are missing from the committee that you can think of? Okay, Senator Dyson.
I'd ask if we could have a chart that showed what would be our spending now if a cap like this had been in place, you know, for the last 30 years. And I was hoping that could be done with, you know, that would be generally accurate. And I'm told that that's difficult, if not impossible. My own evaluation is that that's the accountant's disease and that those guys are incapable of doing approximations based on their professional conditioning and so on. But I think it would be really useful to have to see what the old spending cap and the new spending cap and what something like the impact would have been. And Cheryl or Bruce, can either one of you swallow hard and give us a general graph that would have indicated what would have been the impact?
How many years, Senator Dyson?
Well, I was thinking 30, but we want to go back to before all this incredible wealth fell on the legislature, and what would have happened if, you guys tell me, but wasn't any there years when every senator had X number of millions of dollars to spend in his district wherever he wanted?
Mr. Chairman.
Before we go there.
Can we just ask Carl Moses?
Senator Green?
I was just going to say, I think that would be a woefully difficult group of numbers to come up with, because you would have to, at the same time, you're going back and supposing what moves forward from date year one. Every piece of legislation that passes that impacts how you budget, any new designated receipts, anything else, and I think we're far better to stay within our scope of
what we know,
two or three years, and say what would have happened this year if we had had this spending limit in place 3 years ago. And that's more probably the years, the performance, the revenue, and the general scope of our budget are probably more similar and definable. I just think that would be very difficult to go back that far. I mean, fun for someone, but not, I don't think we have the time left this session for that report.
Senator Dyson, I've worked with Bruce Tangeman now for 4 years, and I think he's pretty much capable of everything, and he never frowns, but I just saw him frown while you were talking. So we'll let Bruce work on that and see what we can do. Let's see, Senator Hoffman.
Well, I would say that back then, when there was discretionary funds with a two-thirds vote, there would have been declared extraordinary income, and then there would have been a run to get the two-thirds vote requirement for mega capital projects that were under discussion in past. And going back and looking at those, you would see that because of the amount of funds, I think the votes were just about unanimous, way above the two-thirds vote required.
Lucky, thank you for that summary. I'll remove my objection to passing SJR3 from committee. Is there further objection? Seeing none, SJR3 passes from committee with, as amended, with individual recommendations. Let's see, a few things. We got a little behind today, so let's look at tomorrow, if we could, before we head to the floor. Tomorrow morning, we're going to have at 9 a.m. a meeting with the Senate State Affairs Committee having to do with the actuarial evaluation report as of June 30th of 03. Bob Reynolds from Mercer Human Consulting is going to be with us. We expect that should take no more than an hour. And so after that, we will go then to Senate Bill 351, House Bill 357, and House Bill 513, which will catch us up. And then we'll move ahead, if we have time, to Senate Bill 337 and SB 303. So we'll try to catch up over the next day or two after we have a briefing on PERS and TERS. Anything else to come before the committee before we adjourn? Thanks, everybody. We're adjourned.